This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Anthony Brooks is out today.
Moving up front, Canoobla shot, caught up, it's a rebound, they score! It is Ward, and the Capitals have moved on!
Moved on to the next round of the NHL playoffs, that is, and knocked the Boston Bruins out when Washington Capitals forward Joel Ward scored the game-winning goal in overtime at TD Garden on Wednesday night. Now, Bruins fans at the Garden were gracious about the loss, but on Twitter, it was a different story. Ward is black, and moments after the game, racist tweets spread over social media. Outrage spread just as fast. The Bruins released a statement saying, "These classless, ignorant views are in no way a reflection of anyone associated with the Bruins organization." But that hasn't stopped the conversation from continuing about what this latest episode means about race and sport in Boston. So we're joined from Atlanta by Anson Carter. He played for the Bruins from 1997 through 2000. Anson Carter, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure and honor to have you. What was your immediate first reaction when you saw those tweets on Wednesday night?
I was extremely disappointed. You know, I had played 4 years in Boston. I love my time in Boston. I've got great memories of playing and living in Boston. And I didn't think the people that made those comments via Twitter, I don't think they're real Boston Bruins fans. They weren't NHL fans. They just had an opportunity to seize the moment and use that platform to, you know, make ignorant comments.
Now, you yourself are black. Your family originates from Barbados. And when Joel Ward scored that game-winning goal, you sent out a tweet congratulating him. And then suddenly, even you were the object of racist attacks on Twitter. What happened?
Yeah, it's unreal. I tweeted out, "Wardo," basically, you know, Caps scoring, you know, Stanley Cup. And I played for the Caps, too. I played for the Bees. I'm a hockey fan. I work as a freelance analyst for the National Hockey League and the NHL Network. So I'm a fan of the game. So it could have been anybody scoring, and I would have sent that tweet out there. And then, you know, there's a couple of instances where a kid made a comment to me via Twitter. It was very racially insulting. I contacted the school. The school was very swift. Eastern Connecticut State University, very swift at contacting the student. The student came in, issued an apology to me, which I accepted. And we were able to move on from that. But, you know, this morning I received another tweet from another kid from that same school who had retweeted the fact that the first student had apologized. And he said to me in quote-unquote, "sucking Anson Carter." Now, you know, I don't use that language. My kids aren't allowed to use that language. I don't appreciate anyone speaking to me in that tone. And I was very offended by it. I mean, I appreciate my time in the National Hockey League, and I still work with the league. I know the league isn't tolerant of this kind of behavior, and I just don't appreciate the fact that now people think that all NHL fans are like this because they're not.
Mm. Do you think that it's fair that this is being characterized as a Boston phenomenon? I mean, that's what everyone here is wondering about. Like, suddenly it's the city once again being showed in this light or being seen in this light of racism.
Well, Boston hasn't had a very good track record in the past, and that's, you know, that's the past. And that's also the tough thing, too, is because, you know, my experience there isn't like that. And I've told people time and time again, Boston is a tremendous city. It's a great city. I don't care what you're telling me. I love playing there. I loved living there. It was awesome. And unfortunately, when stuff like this happens, you know, people that don't believe that are able to stand up and say, "See, Anson, I told you. It's a racist town. I told you. You don't know what you're talking about." And that's the toughest thing, because then I think that sets the team and the city back, because they have so many great people that live and work there that now, you know, people are going to paint everyone that same brush, and it's totally unfair.
So, Anson Carter, I think one of the amazing things about this story is that the Bruins themselves were the first team in the NHL to integrate when Willie O'Ree started playing with them back in 1958. Now, he has said in interviews past that back then it was tough and he had to deal with racism. But I'm wondering, for you, when you were playing with the Bruins, you know, in the late 90s to early 2000, like, did you ever have to deal with racism on the ice?
Not at all. Not at all. The Bruins were a first-class organization. Like I said, the fans there, first-class organization, and first-class fans, sorry. You know, regularly I was walking around downtown, you know, Beacon Hill, going Newbury Street, Marlboro, like you name it. It didn't really matter. Like, I was a part of the city, and it didn't really matter what color I was. Like, it was, and for people that didn't even know who I was, you know, they accepted me for who I am. So to hear all this, like I said, it's tough because I know Willie O'Ree. I respect him. He paved the way for myself and other fellow black players to play in the league, and he went through a lot. And I've heard his story, and I've heard his uncensored story, and it was tough. It really was tough. There were different times then, people keep saying, but at the same time, I understand that racism still exists. But the thing for me, and I can't stress it enough, is I don't want people to associate this kind of behavior with NHL fans.
Do you think that racism exists in hockey any more or any less than it does in other professional sports?
I don't think it's any more. I mean, it exists in the world. So I would be ignorant to think that it doesn't exist anywhere. There isn't one place where you'd think, well, racism doesn't exist, because it exists. That's the reality of the world that we live in. You know, who am I to say that it's anything less in hockey than it is in basketball, or anything more in football than it is in hockey? Like, I'm not one to be able to really put those two, you know, together and compare those two. But I do know, and speaking from experience and living it, that the league itself is really trying hard to expand its minority fan base. It's trying hard to expand the number of minority players playing. It's grown since I've played. So my message is, and it's important for me to speak out about this, is A, I don't appreciate people talking to anyone like that, and B, this isn't an indication of how NHL fans behave, because these aren't NHL or Boston Bruins fans.
Anson Carter, last quick question for you. I mean, this also all unfolded on social media, on Twitter, which makes it easier for a lot of folks who might not have said, you know, as you were telling us earlier, wouldn't say these things to someone's face. They say it through social media. Is this something that you think black and other minority athletes are now, they have to deal with, because social media is allowing so much more the potential for criticism like this to just explode so quickly?
Well, without a doubt. You know, you're giving people this real opportunity to interact with you personally, and people are taking advantage of that. You know, if you're not a big fan of someone, don't follow them. But you're going to have that ignorant person out there that will take that opportunity to take that swipe at someone, knowing that they could hide behind their computer. So, without a doubt, but no, more so than the athletes themselves and people, they should think twice about saying these things and making these comments, because these comments will live eternally, you know, online.
Anson Carter played for the Boston Bruins from 1997 through 2000. Mr. Carter, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And by the way, we've got a link to an interview with Willie O'Ree. He spoke to NPR a few years ago. It's a wonderful interview. I'd encourage you to listen to it. It's at radioboston.org. Well, up next, the week in review, including newly released tax records of Elizabeth Warren and Senator Scott Brown, the Massachusetts House budget, and news on federal student loan interest rates. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.